This is the Voice of First Nation Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Indian tribes of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And now here are your hosts, Deborah Klein and Marv Betcher. We'll pick up where we left off on Tuesday as Debbie continues with her teaching, Do We Really Know God?
So what does it mean to truly know God? Knowing is a word that's full of, I guess, yearning and promise, especially in the context of the relationships that matter to us. And sometimes true knowing remains elusive. God reveals himself, that he wants to be known by us and that he is knowable, that we can know that we know him. But we need to understand what a genuine relationship with God looks like. Christianity is not just about adhering to a set of doctrines, although our beliefs, our churches are built on distinctive beliefs. It's not just about living ethically, but moral choices are important and encouraged and expected. It's not about following a set of religious practices, although taking part in worship service, for example, is important. Christianity is first and foremost about a relationship to God. It's about knowing him truly and personally. The difference about knowing about God and knowing God is something that we need to think about. You may know a lot of things about the President of the United States. You may know what he likes and what he doesn't like, his views on important issues, maybe about his family life, his background. But this comes to you by reading, watching the news, talking to people. It doesn't mean you know him. And he doesn't even know you exist, I'm sure. So how much do we need to learn about the person who leads our country before we can truthfully say that we know him? Would it even be possible? I doubt it.
For most people.
The problem is there's a difference between knowing about a person and knowing the person. And it's the same with God. There's a problem between knowing about God and knowing God. There's a canyon of difference there. And the difference, you call it distance or separateness, is something that probably you can think back in your lifetime and understand it from personal experience. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, and as far back as I can remember, I was taught the truth about God. I grew up reading the Bible. My dad had family devotions, and I prayed, I went to church, went to Sunday school, attended Christian school. I knew about every story in the Bible, could recite the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and Psalm 100 that my dad made us memorize. I never have doubted that God existed, and I believe and always have believed that God sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross for me. And I knew it wasn't a fairy tale, but my knowledge about him was biblical and orthodox. But for many years, though I knew about him, I didn't know him. I rebelled when I got into my teens. And some things that we think are freedoms will actually enslave us and destroy us if it's not stopped. And somewhere in my very early 20s, there was just a hunger. I don't even know what sparked it, whether it was a feeling of loneliness. I was living away from my folks. I had my own place. I used to go out to the bars to dance, love to dance. And I'd come home at somewhere between 2:30 and 3 o'clock and climb into bed, and I started reading the Bible. And so I may have gone to the altar a bazillion times when I was a kid, because the church I grew up in, if you made one mistake, you were back to square one. You had to be saved all over again, is how they believed. And so I don't even know how many times I went to the altar, but It was then in my 20s when I started reading the scripture that I became desperate, really, to know God. I believe he brought me to the end of myself. I saw, or maybe I felt, there was a loving, merciful God who was pursuing me, who loved me. He wanted me to know him. And so when you get to the end of yourself, a lot of times it's the beginning of God in your life. And God helped me to see that my hunger for identity could only be in a relationship with him. If you really want to know God, you have to enter into a personal relationship with him. We were created by God to know him, plain and simple. Every single human being was designed and hardwired specifically to be in a relationship to God. But something's wrong, and all we know it. If we're honest, we would admit that deep down, we sense that something necessary is missing. There's a homesickness we can't explain. And the truth is, it's only when the distance between us and God is bridged that we can experience the fullness, the certainty that we seek. St. Augustine prayed, "You have created us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." What keeps us apart and restless? It's that uncrossable chasm of separation, and the Bible calls it sin. Sin isn't a popular word anymore in this culture that we live in, but it's a very practical word. J.I. Packer said, "Sin is a rebellious reaction to God's call and command, a spirit of fighting God in order to play God." None of us, in other words, is sin-free. As Paul wrote in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. You see, our own sin nature and sinful acts stop us from having that intimate relationship with a holy God. And that makes sense, because selfishness and betrayal will fracture human relationships too. Sin warps how we understand ourselves and God, and it blights how we treat others. It warps what we want, even if it's killing us, and it limits what we can do to change. The fact is, we can't get over the canyon of sin without help, and God must act. And he did act on our behalf. He crossed over to rescue us. And the Bible word for this astonishing gift of mercy is salvation. So salvation is what a little child playing in the middle of the freeway needs. The child doesn't understand the danger that it's in. Couldn't escape if it did understand. We're criminals. We're sinners. We're criminals, and we need rescuing.
All of us are.
Yes. And we can't earn it. Our only hope is to receive salvation as a gift. We're born estranged from God. We live in self-centered rebellion, just stubbornly choosing to be our own God. And we really do deserve God's judgment. What we need desperately is to be saved. And the good news of the gospel is this: in the midst of our hopeless and helpless circumstance, God sent his son Jesus Christ to save us. But his costly gift requires us to humbly respond with acknowledging our need of him and receiving in faith the salvation that he offers. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. And so in Christ, God promises to make us new creatures. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:17. We get a new beginning, a new family, a new purpose, a new power, a new destiny. We gain a new relationship with God that is real and absolutely certain and eternal. There's a lot of dimensions to salvation, and they have kind of big words. For example, justification, sanctification, glorification, redemption. But the relational dimension, which is what we're talking about here, is a simple word, adoption. When we turn from our sins and enter into relationship with God, we receive a new identity. We were lost, sinful, spiritual orphans, slaves to our own humanity, and now we're adopted into His family and given the privilege of calling Him Father. You know, if you had a good father, you will understand the warmth of that term. And if you didn't have a good father, you can have one now. Galatians 4:4-6, Paul wrote that God the Father sent Jesus to buy back sinners from their enslavement so that we might receive adoption as sons. And the word that he used, that Paul used, means the process or act of being adopted. He said it 5 different times. So, you know, he's trying to drive his point home. We're going to stop now, but join us again next week, and we'll continue this study. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to First Nation Ministries, where our goal is to reach out to the Native American tribes throughout the country and share Jesus Christ with them. We do it through an act of love by providing much-needed food, clothing, bedding, and just those basic things they simply don't have. You can help us by donating those basic necessities to First Nation that would in turn be driven and delivered to our Native brothers and sisters. The ministry also has another need, help with our operating expenses, including radio airtime. Radio has proven to be an excellent way to share our message, and yet there is a cost involved, and it can add up rather quickly. And that's why we ask you, our committed listener, to help us with our radio expenses. God made it clear to our founder, Don Klein, many years ago to reach out to these hurting people, and we want to continue that vision to take the powerful message of Christ to our Native American family. Thank you so much.
I love to tell the story.
You can help us reach our Native American brothers and sisters with your prayers and financial gifts. Please write to us at First Nation Ministries, Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. That's Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. You can call us at 503-477-6077, 503-477-6077, and visit our website at firstnationministries.org.